7:23. For those who can, let's stand. After this song, we'll be led in prayer by Brother James. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we gather around this table this morning to reflect back on the day that your Savior, that our Savior, your Son, died upon a cross for our sins. For all the hurt that he went through, even before he got there, Father, we cannot fathom. The love that you have for us, Father, we cannot fathom. And his love for us and that he died for us, we cannot fathom. As we reflect back to that cross, Father, and partake of this love, that represents his body that died there. Help us, Father, to examine ourselves, to examine our love for him, and partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here, Lord, we take this cup, fruit of vine, bread, sense of blood. The Lord, to save you, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. supper being completed, we now have an opportunity to get back from it. Work here at the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you give us every day in our lives. But we realize, Father, that all blessings come from you. We now have an opportunity, Father, to give back for the work here at this church. May we do so, Father, and that will be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have 19 present this morning. Today is June 13th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 714. 714 will be our song of invitation. And once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 408. 408.
Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. The Bible very clearly, very plainly. Tells us that we're saved by hope in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? Romans 8 and verse 24, I take to be my one and only verse of Scripture to live by. Hope. I'm saved by hope. I hope to be saved. And because I hope to be saved, there's nothing else in the Bible that tells me and talks to me about what to do. I just hope to be saved. So when I find my way doing that, hoping for salvation, I can answer just anybody who comes up to me to tell me about salvation in the Lord and so forth. Because I hope to be saved. You know, when we talk that way and think that way, we may be injecting in our mind's eye, we may be injecting a word there that we have heard so much about, the word faith, and we have concluded that it's by faith only that I am saved. Well, the Bible tells me there in Romans 8:24 what? We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? So we find ourselves hoping for that way of life in heaven itself. When somebody says, are you going to heaven? I hope to go to heaven. And the hope is going to save me. And he goes on to say, likewise, in this regard, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He talks about that in regard to verse 25. And if we hope for them we see not, then do we do with patience wait for it. Is that the meaning of the passage? When somebody says to me, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. He that believeth not shall be condemned. What I find there that relates to hope. When I'm saved by hope, it doesn't matter what I may believe about Christ or believe about his way. I've accepted hope only as my way of salvation. In Matthew 6 and 33, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you, I can say, wait just a second. That doesn't save an individual. Hope is that what saves an individual, Romans 8, verse 24. And it's in hope only that I'm saved, and I'm not saved by doing his will. And what he says there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, deal with material things of life, and doesn't deal with my salvation. Hope is what deals with my salvation. Am I not injecting a word that's not there? Hope only is my saving point. When I find in the Bible examples of conversion, and I find on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and as many far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What he called me to in Romans 8:24, hope. By hope you're saved. And hope only is the idea that I want to pray for you. Is that not what I'm doing when I'm taking the word faith in Romans chapter 5 in reference to it and reference to his salvation by faith only? Look what he said there in this regard in Romans 5 Romans 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is being maintained through faith only. For if they which were of the law be heirs, faith only is made void, and the promise of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. I want to be saved by that hope. And I mentioned about Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, in my mind's eye, I reflect upon faith being faith only. And he says, there being justified by faith only, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith only into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope only of the glory of God. Will I not run into a conflict when I see that faith and hope used in the same passage together for salvation? I should see that, but when I see only as the end of faith and only as the end of hope, which one is the only? So many people listen to the preacher speak about how that salvation comes by the sinner's prayer. How that we are bowing our heads and closing our eyes and we're saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me by thy grace. Save me in regard to the ways of life that I have lived and mislived throughout my days. And I have a hope in thee that you've heard me. Now you rise up and just go right on your way. Where do I find that in the pages of the New Testament or the Old Testament, for that fact, of the Bible? Where do I find such a prayer and such a way of salvation that I can be saved by that hope? Hope only. Can I be saved that way? Another example of conversion is found in the book of Acts in chapter 16. And in reference to the way of life that it does for us, I see a hope that is manifest in that way of life. In Acts, I said to Romans, didn't I? Acts chapter 16, I read the following about this. And then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the daughter of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren there at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have go through forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And when he went through the cities, they delivered him the decrees of the king to keep, that he would ordain of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, increased in number daily. Those churches live by faith only. That's all they live by. That's the conclusion that I've drawn. Is that what my teaching should be? Faith only? In James chapter 2, in reference to this matter, I read vividly the description that is given there about a place where faith alone does bless my life. And in James 2 at 20, I want to go on that particular thought. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I don't want to teach that. I want to teach that faith saves me by itself. I want to teach everybody that a prayer that's not found in the Scripture at all is the thing you ought to say for salvation. Is that the way that I really ought to teach? Or ought to teach, as it does say here, this regard. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, seeing about how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Does that not destroy my idea of teaching about faith only for salvation? Does that not plainly say it's not by faith only? Or did it say, and you see how that by works a man is justified, and by faith only? When in fact it says, not by faith only. What is the deception that has been done? No doubt there are people who were sincere in believing that the Lord promised to save those who believe in Him, believe on Him. What do we find in the pages of the Bible about that idea of the conflict of believing only on Him and hoping only on Him? Both are teachings of falsehood. If I were to teach you that sort of way of life and demand that you believe that way of life, then faith only and hope only would conflict, because you'd say, well, if it's only, it means there's none other. This is the only way in which I do this. None other. And so my hope only, if it saves me, I don't need the faith. If faith only saves me, I don't need the hope. But when I read in Romans 8:24, we're saved by hope. Does it not say we are saved by hope? Where's the word not there? We're not saved by hope. No, it's not there. It says we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? I look forward to being with the Lord someday in that paradise of God. And if I live by hope alone, I'll just hope that way. What does that word hope mean? Well, the meaning of hope is the idea of having something done with dependability. When we hope for something, we find ourselves hoping for it as we have the patience along the way to do that, and we have a hope for it being realized. My hope is for that salvation. Do I hope alone for it? There are worlds of people who determine that they will live by faith only and hope only in that faith to be saved from sin. We beg of them to really consider again what the Bible teaches in regard to the subject. The subject is faith, not faith only. Notice where that faith is placed in our Lord's will and Lord's way. It's placed in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13, we read regarding this matter of salvation. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. In Christ, when I come into Christ, I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. His grace has shown to me a way of life that is a hope that we can realize. A hope it can be in, not a hope alone, not a faith alone, but it is a faith that lives in Christ by way of how I can live and how I can be saved from sin. And that is my hope in the Lord for salvation. He says in Colossians 1 at verse 15, who in is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, For by him, by Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased God that in him should the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye have now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled in the truth, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which ye have been preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. You see that both of these things are set forth, that faith and hope saves the soul. Not faith only, not hope only, but faith and hope together. That's what he says, does it? He says in verse 23 of Colossians 1, if ye continue in the faith of the Lord, the faith that's in this Bible, the faith that's in the teaching of this New Testament, that's the faith. We are part of the faith. We're to contend earnestly for the faith. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. We're to preach the faith. That's the faith being taught this morning. And the faith is different than hope only and faith only. So what it says there, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. When we have salvation in Christ, we have an assurance that will stand, a hope of the soul by which we will be saved, a hope by which we obey the Lord in every particular that he's talked about. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Did Paul conflict with him when we're saved by hope in Romans 8, verse 24? We're saved by hope alone is the basic understanding that people have. But it's not by hope only. It is by hope that is in the faith that the Lord has taught everybody and wants everybody to be saved by the faith that was delivered to them. What a blessing. I know this lesson this morning is a different kind of lesson for you. It's a lesson on the negative side of what the Bible actually teaches about salvation from sin. But what we have here is not a sinner's prayer that we can quote from the scripture. It's not a faith-only doctrine that we can teach. It's not a hope-only doctrine that we can teach. It is a salvation by faith that leads us to repent of our sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13, to confess him, and he'll confess us before the Father in heaven in Matthew 10, and for us to be baptized into him. As we're baptized into his death, we're then raised to walk a newness of life. If anyone is subject to Jesus' invitation, would you not obey him and have this kind of hope by which you can be saved, and a faith by which you can be saved? And it's not by faith only. So it's stated clearly in James 2 at 24. It's not by faith only. but faith that is mixed with the teaching of God's will and obedience to His will. As I come along reading the Bible and reading the scripture and seeing what it says there, I find a way of practicing pure religion. Described in James 1, verses 26 to 27, when he says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit or care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What he called this kind of religion? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. If I just go out here and just help people that are widows and orphans, I'm saved from sin. I hope to be saved from sin that way. Am I not mistaken in the idea of salvation by hope alone to save me, when the scripture does not teach that? It teaches me to practice a pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When I keep myself unspotted from the world, what do? I avoid what's stated there in 1 John chapter 2. All that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What do over there to deny that way of life that is ungodly? I'll deny the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what he calls it there in James 1. And in reference to this matter of living that way of life, I want to practice that pure religion. That pure religion teaches me to be out here and looking for people that are in need and helping people who are in need. It teaches me to come to the church of the Lord and be a person who glorifies God in the church. So when it's beyond what I can do and limitations that I have, I can call upon the members of the church to work with me and assist me in helping the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep myself unspotted from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in the world. I can have the assistance of brethren far and wide to help a situation. Wonderful is that way of life to live and to do. To the contrary, to teach a salvation by faith alone and by hope alone is not the teaching of the Scripture. The Scripture teaches by faith, I'm to be obedient to the Lord's will. In that I have hope of that salvation. I hope you've understood that. And I hope others do that listen to this broadcast. There are just scores of people right in this area who listen to this broadcast by way of our internet site every week. I don't want any of them to think that hope saves them alone or that faith saves them alone, but that a faith that is obedient to the Lord's will, following His way, lives by a hope that He describes as saving us. And it's not by hope alone that we're saved. Come Jesus, as we stand here, as we sing together today.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? Where will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? The time to prepare, my friend. Make your cross modest and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, He will.
41 passages in the New Testament of our Bible that tells us that a certain thing saves us. We're saved by hope in Romans 8:24, but there are 40 others that are staged to save us. Did God want us to understand it's by salvation in those things alone? Or did He want us to practice all those ways of life in living that hope for salvation? What a blessing to be with y'all today. God bless you in every way. We can help at any time. We have things ready here, prepared most every day of the week for someone to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that time when they'll come back and say, I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to begin that new way of life in Christ. And I hope that that's the case. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 if we can. God bless. And then meet after service.
Sermon number 286.
Day what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know really for everything, and all my worry is vain. Pray that you'll give us strength and guidance, and give us our sin. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.